I think about an organization as a web, and finance is at the center. And we have this ability to actually bring people together, have them understand what it is to win as a company, and just simply show it by the numbers.
Welcome to another For the Love of Finance. This is a practical, insight, strategic level conversation that we have with finance leaders all across the board, with the entire element of leveling up your career, increasing your financial acumen, and being a great finance business partner. And today's topic we're going to be talking about today is inside startup finance, elevating and unveiling successful financial strategies. And I'm really excited for today's guest. He's a good friend of mine, super awesome CFO. Laurent, welcome to For the Love of Finance.
Thank you, Chris. I'm very happy to be here today. And thank you for having me on the podcast.
Awesome, man. Yeah, so like one question I like to get started for everybody so they learn more about you. Tell me a little bit, how'd you get into finance? Tell me a little bit about your journey so far.
Yeah, I mean, I'm going to date myself a little bit, but I started in finance, you know, early 2000 in the dot-com era back in France. Straight out of college, I had a major in finance, so I wanted to try that. So I studied as an accountant in a startup company. I really wanted to explore that world. Once in, you know, I got to understand the ins and outs of how a small company works. But I was talking a lot with my CFO. I'm like, I want your job. I want to be able, you know, to get into that seat. So how do I get there? So I just asked that question, asked my peers, you know, asked some professors that I was still in touch with, and decided to go back and do a master in finance. So left the company, did a master, specialized in finance, then joined a large multinational company to understand how do you build a team? What is it to scale? What are the best processes, you know, and practices that you have to put in place in a company? So I did that for a little while, then decided to jump back into the startup adventure, smaller and with all the complexities and the fun and the sweat and the tears that go with it. So went back to that, and I've been evolving in that space since then. And I'm now, as a fractional CFO myself, helping early stage companies, seeds to Series A, understand how to grow and how finance can be a real partner, especially as search from early stage, because companies at early typically don't have the means or do not want to hire a full-time CFO. However, there are individuals like you and me that can jump in and definitely help very early on. So that's what I'm doing right now.
Yeah, I love it, dude. And I think this is like, we have such a similar background, man. Like I remember jumping into tech and earlier stage businesses, more like not earlier stage, but more like startup, not scale ups yet. And I think to your point, man, like it gets to like the first question I want to talk about specifically around like the challenges by startups, right? Like, what are some of those financial strategies that you found like effective throughout your career, or maybe some of the clients that you're working with to help that growth for early stage companies?
Right. So we know cash is king. There's a finite number of resources and an infinite number of asks and possibilities. I think that's where finance can really bring some expertise here. What I love to do, bigger scale, smaller scale, is really to have finance connected to the business. Ooh. Having this ability to be close to every single aspect of the business, marketing, sales, engineer, product, have finance embedded into these conversations very early on. And I think that's where early stage startups are starting to see the benefit of that as well, is that to have somebody that has the ability to dive deep into the topic, understand what the complexities, what the actual mechanics are behind each department, and also understand how they win and help that in the process, because you won't have that feel good feeling emotion when you are inside a startup. Everybody wants to succeed, everyone wants to win, but how do you do it? It happens so many times that departments work together, but they don't really understand each other. Marketing and engineering, you can't go more opposite, you know, in the spectrum of way of thinking of the mechanics, but that's where finance brings that tissue, that connection between the teams. So I think about an organization as a web, and finance is at the center. And we have this ability to actually bring people together, have them understand what it is to win as a company, and just simply show it by the numbers. Sometimes when everybody in finance included, we're deep into our own things, it's hard to step back and think about the big picture. And I think that's where the CFO role comes in, where we have embedded teams and bring people together.
I love that point, man. And like embedding finance in not just in outside of the organization, you know, like I remember like leading high growth finance organizations. And a lot of times when you're in the early stage or even startup level business, Laurent, so many of those business decisions are just made by like gut reactions, right? Like maybe the engineering person feels good or the salesperson wakes up on a Monday and they feel great about what their sales forecast is going to be. And it's so much of that early stage, so much of that startup culture is just based on gut feelings, right? And when you, as you talked about, when you incorporate finance to be that connective person across the marketing, the operations, the HR, the IT, you move away from like gut feelings and saying like, hey, like let's have the data. Like, how does the best data support the decision that we need to make, right? Like, how do we get away from a lot of the decision making at earlier stage businesses being more on the gut or more of like, I think this feels right, to being I'm not saying get rid of all of that because you're still going to have that. You're still going to make decisions where you're like, I don't have all the data to support it. But how do you move it to be more quantifiable and not like 100% qualitative and have that healthy balance? And this is where I think fine, this is our strong suit that we bring in the conversation, whether it's working with engineering and you're looking at, you know, sprint schedules or product release schedules, or you're working with marketing and you're looking at a finite amount of marketing dollars and you're trying to look at the best impact and ROI that's going to have. Like, that's where, as you mentioned and highlighted, bringing finance in that conversation early, you bring in kind of that quantifiable element for it, right? Like, we're going to ask those questions of saying, hey, if we want to go hire eight engineers, what's the ROI we're going to get on that? Not just because it feels good to go hire eight engineers. Like, does that even make sense? And when you can have a lot of that conversation earlier on, now it makes it like, hey, finance isn't coming in and just like slapping me on the hand and saying I can't do this. It's saying, hey, I know you want to do this, but let's build a business case around it. Let's build the preliminary business case that makes sense or support this. And maybe it doesn't, right? And that's where that connection comes in earlier on. And this is where, when you get in that motion, right, of a startup and early stage business, sometimes those trains can go so far off the track that you're making decisions and you find yourself in like no quantifiable way to know if it was a good or bad decision, right? And I love that point that you mentioned is like incorporating that connection early in the business and establishing that relationship is vital for growth as you continue to, whether you're early stage startup or scale up business.
Absolutely, because very, very early on, a lot of founders and CEOs actually wear the CFO hat, and that's not in their strong suit. They know how to do it. Some, come from finance, MBAs, or different backgrounds. They know how to do it, but that's not the best use of their time. And that's where I think finance can take that burden off their shoulders and actually help them focus. Just to expand a little bit on the topic, nothing is 100% science. There's always art and science, right? So you're always going to have that gut feel, and you need that. It's just, let's find a way to quantify it somehow. Why? Because we want to have accountability within an organization. So you want to be able to say, hey, 6 months ago, we made a decision this way for X, Y, and Z reason with A, B, and C results. Where are we? And let's go and look at it as an organization. And actually, 6 months for a startup is a lifetime. So I would say, 2 months. And then look at those results. Where are we? What have we learned? Did we win? Did we lose? There's always, a good outcome with that. But again, as cash is always, pretty scarce, you have to be very reactive. So I love that aspect of having the visionary CEO that will say, let's go there. Okay, how do we go there? And that's where we can help.
And it leads to like my next question. Like, that's a great segue to it. And my next question talks about like that financial efficiency and support in rapid growth, right? Because like when you're on a rocket ship of an early stage startup business and you're wearing out a lot of different hats, right? You're kind of balancing speed for efficiency, right? Like, you're like, let's just run fast. Let's run fast after everything. But my next question is, how can a fractional CFO take the proactive steps to balance that financial efficiency and rapid growth, right? Like, how have you found in your career or the clients that you work with where you're balancing, hey, let's make sure we build efficiency, but we don't lose the growth, right? Like, let's not just 100% focus on growth without efficiency, and let's not focus on 100% efficiency and lacking the speed of moving able to grow and move fast. Like, how have you taken those practice steps, and what are some successes that you've had?
Right, great question, because I would say that's how a startup lives or dies. It's you need to invest. And the way, I think about a CFO, a company or some organization is like, where is the best that we can spend our next dollar? What is the opportunity that we need to seize, or the opportunity that we're losing, right? So where do we spend our next dollar? And we always have that question every single day. The answer is unknown. It's all about testing, build hypothesis, test it, measure it, and move on, and continuously doing that. So where finance helps in there, and that's where technology has helped finance a lot over the years, is that we can come in with a set of tools that say, okay, you want to test this. Okay, I have this quick ROI calculation that we can do. What are you trying to do? What are the key drivers that you're trying to influence by spending this dollar? What is the expected outcome? Let's measure that. Okay, this is what we want to do. Let's test it. After a week, 2 weeks, does it work? Does it not work? Let's move on. We keep on, double dipping on it, or we just, move on and try something else. So this constant iteration testing is very important, because this notion of product market fit is something that is being experienced. It is a process that is being put on motion until the company is big enough, actually, hit the product market fit, and then could iterate. So finance helps a lot in the process, in my opinion, as we can help quantify and quantify rapidly what those results are. And it depends on the size of the organization, but in a small organization, it's going to be some Excel spreadsheets. Let's not, kid ourselves, and or Google Sheets. And that's where, that's where we come in. But at least it's the idea of let's track. Let's not just do without thinking back about it. We all have this vision about let's focus on the future, but let's learn a little bit about the past as we go. And every step will help us, go above that hill.
Love that, man. Love that. That's like a practical insight. And just to like expand upon what you just mentioned, I've always looked at my career and kind of like when we work with clients, I'm always about like creating like a minimum viable product or a minimum viable solution, right? I call them MVPs and MVSs, right? And it's incorporated. It's like you're not gonna have the speed, time, energy to create this whole 100% thing, but it gets back to what you mentioned, which is the most critical part of it, is like how are you getting those feedback loops, right? Feedback loops in an early stage or startup business across all functional areas is probably the most valuable information that you could get, right? And when you're able to get those feedback loops, whether it's in marketing, right? And you're testing out some go-to-market strategies, you're testing out some new marketing strategies to drive lead gen, right? Like create that minimum viable product or solution and like get the feedback on it and make those feedback windows so much tighter, right? I would say the earlier stage of a business that you are, you're talking about you're getting feedback loops on a weekly basis. There's been some times in organizations where we're measuring feedback loops on a daily basis because we're working so long with the customer, or we're like having such a dedicated process that we want to get feedback on. And it kind of talks about what you mentioned, like that feedback loop and that cadence of that information and saying, all right, we said we're going to do something. What did we do? What was the result, right? And it's like, all right, we got the result, we got the feedback. How do we weave that back into, okay, right back into the, it's a continuous process of what you're, we're building something. What feedback do we get? Okay, we got to incorporate this feedback, build it again. And you're constantly retooling that. And it kind of talks about like the first point that we mentioned, right? Like you're not gonna have a 100% confidence in that thing, right? There's been MVPs and MVSs that we built and clients that we've worked with on where it's just like we're figuring out as we're building it, but at least we have a framework where we're gathering that feedback, we're getting that intelligence, we're making those pivot or persevere decisions on those MVPs or MVSs. Pivot or persevere meaning, do we pivot away from that MVS or do we continue to persevere down the MVS or MVP tactic that we mentioned out. And like in earlier stages, like so much of that is happening inside the business, but it's not being captured. It's not being captured from like a quantifiable perspective. And this is where, as you mentioned, like if we're the spoke of that wheel and we're able to take these communications that we get from marketing, sales, operations, client success, IT, engineering, and we're able to translate that into the feedback of like, yeah, we got more customers, or we reduced expenses, or we increased our cash runway, or we reduced our cash burn. Like that is gold, right? And it kind of talks about what you mentioned. That feedback element in the business is like so critical. And I'm so glad that you talked about that, Laurent.
I absolutely agree. And I think at smaller scale, it's easier to do what I'm about to talk about. I love sitting down with products and look at customer reviews because it tells us so much. And I feel like finance needs to have a deeper understanding. Finance and accounting, by the way, I'm not, limiting that just to FP&A, but finance and accounting needs to really have a deep understanding of where the company is headed so that everybody can have ideas. Everybody, can be contributing in some ways, in the growth of the business. So having that perspective is key.
Absolutely. And Laurent, talking a little bit more about like you working and the finance organizations that you lead and work in early stage businesses, like I'm curious to know from you, what are some of like those top three challenges that you see every startup, every early stage company when it comes specifically for finance? Like, here's the common three challenges that you see. Like, what are those that you've been seeing throughout your career, and how have you seen those challenges said, like, I know this is a challenge, but here's how we can provide solutions or services to help turn that into productivity. Like, what are those common three things that you've seen in early startup or scale-up companies?
I would say the three are building trust, being reactive fast enough, and adjacent to that, having the tools to be fast enough. Because again, cash is king, dollars are limited. So when you come in, you don't want to be the person that comes in and say, I need to spend $30,000 in a tool today so that I can help you run your business. That's not what you want to do. So you need to come armed with tools. So let's start with trust. Trust is important. Why? Because a lot of companies, especially early stage, not necessarily understand fully the benefit of what finance and accounting can do to the business. It's kind of looked at as the
Thanks.
back office. I'm not a big fan of this word, the back office. I think we're all front office. We're just, sitting in a different position, right? So building this trust, and how do you build a trust early? To me, it's always been about, and I help all of the finance and accounting leaders to be, it's about communication. Let's have an open conversation,
Thanks.
right? When you come in, first 90 days, it's not about telling, it's about listening. What are you doing? How are you doing things? What are your challenges? What are the main goals that the company distilling down to the team, from the mission to the department to the individual? What are the goals? Where are you going? How do you know that what you're doing is actually going to turn into a profit for the organization? How do we know that? And that's where finance has been, to me, key in this process, where we essentially
Nice.
translate what the goal is, the mission is, into the individual components of the machinery of every single department. So building that trust, to me, is critical, because it is the way we're going to be sitting in the room and being asked our opinion. If we don't do that, why would we be asked our opinion? It's like we have no idea what we're talking about. Well, yes, we do, because we sit down with everybody and we actually spend the time to understand what it is that every person has to do to win, and so that the organization wins. The second aspect, how fast can finance react in making or be proactive in making decisions? Because you don't want to wait 2 months to make a decision, especially at a very, very early stage. We need to make decisions on, as you mentioned, on a weekly and sometimes daily basis. Should we keep investing in this marketing channel? Is it actually effective? Should we actually keep building this feature for our product? Is it actually going to do anything? So that's where reacting fast is critical for companies, especially early stage, and that's where finance can help with that. Let's make decisions quickly. How? Because I know what we're talking about, I know what you need, and I know what the company needs. Is this the right investment?
Nice.
Yes or no? Which leads me to the third aspect, which is, well, how do we do that? Well, over time, we build our own individual tools. Again, we can all have our little, Excel spreadsheets, but I love being able to develop tools that I just hand off to the department that say, hey, this is a little ROI machine. Play with it. You don't need to sit down with me every single day. I'd love to, but you and I are busy. So use that tool. See how what the ROI comes out with. How does it play in the big picture? Let's sit down. Let's look at it next, and let's bring it to the leadership and let's make a decision. Building these tools is critical. And I'm very excited about the future of technology in general, because there are a lot of tools that are coming to the market right now. Being AI, or just call it smarter tools than a typical Excel spreadsheet, that can actually help being more plug and play and help make these quick decisions. To me, right now, they're being tested and kind of working in big enterprise environments, large scale companies. It's coming down now to the startups. So when it becomes more affordable, those tools become more accessible for early stage companies that can afford it. I think we're into something that will change the way finance works in general, but also how startups can move forward faster.
Nice, man. Hey, Loren, I love how you broke that down into trust, speed, and the tools, right? Like those to me, and when I look back in high growth finance organizations and SMBs that we work with, right? It's like I always broke it down into like six key pillars, right? Like people, process, and partnership. Like that's everything around your first elements you talked about around that trust, right? Like notice people, processes, and partnership. None of that is like quantifiable, right? Like that's not like a quantifiable place, but that's a foundation that you need, which is similar to the trust that you talked about, right? And then you build upon the platform's performance and profit optimization. Now we get into how we scale, right? Which is going to be your speed and your tools and tactics that you have around it, right? And I think bringing it, and it ties out to your first point earlier on. I think every early stage CEO, business owner, founder, or even if you're working in that side of the business, as Laurent talked about, if you want to make like an immediate impact inside that organization, like focus on the trust first. It talks about to your first point that you mentioned in our conversation where you said, we got to be inside, we got to be involved in the business, right? Do not be that finance, that FP&A, that accountant, that CFO that just says, you know what? I just go sit back. I just get you the numbers. I get you the financial statements. I want to hand that off to you, and my job is done, right? Like, that's not saying that that's not valuable, but when you look at like the opportunity to go build connection, when you look at building trust, as you talked about, when you talked about speed and being more proactive and not reactive, when you talked about bringing in that acumen of tools and technology to help supplement what the value that we're providing, like, those are all the things that the business expects out of finance now, right? Like handing off the financial statements and giving them to the business and saying, here's what that is, like, that's not value add anymore, right? So we gotta make sure we're leveling up. And it gets back to all the points that you talked. Notice in this conversation, Laurent, we haven't talked one thing about how should you be measuring cash burn and cash runway? How should you be looking at customer lifetime value, right? Like, those are the things that I'm not saying those things are not important. But I'm saying when you're looking at a business relationship with a CEO, founder, owner, or outside of finance, like as you mentioned, trust, speed, and technical acumen and leveraging tools and technology, that's way more value add. So those challenges that you mentioned, these are great opportunities, right? Every challenge is an opportunity to provide more value. And I love how you broke that down into those three areas, man, because I fundamentally agree with you that those are so important.
And I think you will agree to the next thing I'm going to say, because you and I are a little bit like-minded, is that let's not forget to have fun, because when we do that,
Absolutely.
it's fun. That's why I love my job. It's because there's real joy in this partnership, right? It's not just clocking in and out and build some spreadsheets and that's it. And that's why I love working with early stage companies, because there's a lot of connections that has to be made with the founders and CEOs. They're like the most fun people to work with. Like, they're so excited. They have this vision. So that's where, I get my fun.
Yeah, man. And I sometimes it's a balance between finance and finance, right?
Yeah.
We got to balance both of them, man. But yeah, if you're not having fun doing, and it's the thing is like fun, you have to reach a level where it's like fun when you're coming into those. Like a lot of times there may be people looking at this and saying, Chris, everything that you and Loren are talking about is like uncomfortable for me, right? Like I am like a quantifiable, calculated person. Like how do I go be a trusted advisor? And Loren kind of laid that out. It's like go build out in the connection, go learn the business, go learn the pains, frustration, opportunities of your business partners, right? And like to me, that incorporates that fun aspect of it, because that should be a fun activity to challenge you to learn more about the business and build trust. And it's so important, man, to make sure you're having fun, because like if you're not having fun and doing what you're doing in earlier stage, like if it's not fun at the early stage, like it's probably not going to be fun at the later stage either. Like it
That's right.
you got to have fun, take that passion, take that innovation, and like harness it in a scalable way. Hey, Laurent, one last question I have for you is, you work with earlier stage businesses, and I know a lot of software companies in earlier stage had this issue of tackling the rise of SaaS costs, right? Vertice is coming upon to kind of provide a new wave of organizations to help these software companies, whether earlier stage, startup, or scale-ups, tackle the issue of rising SaaS and cloud costs. How do you think organizations and finance leaders should be thinking about, or maybe some practical strategies, tips, or insights that you've had of like how finance can help meet this rising of SaaS and cloud costs?
Yeah, it's a great question. It comes back to a point that you made earlier that I fully agree on is show me the ROI. So
Yes.
my question is always, okay, we have this cost. What would we do if this was not an option? Tell me what we would do. And it's unbelievable how much creativity comes out of this question when you ask it to the business. I didn't ask, let's take it away. I know we need it, but tell me how would we pursue, how would we grow without it? And a number of options will come our way. Well, let's, change vendor. One option. We didn't think about it because we're easing the vendor that we have, but sometimes you negotiate, a new partnership with a new vendor, you get a discount that you never thought you would get. You get an optimization tool that will actually help you reduce the cost across your different vendors, your SaaS expenses, because they have better negotiation power. Probably they put you in a pool of a bunch of startups where you can negotiate an enterprise grade, lower cost. Many options are possible. We just don't know what they are until we actually try. So I go with that mindset. Show me the ROI. I'm okay to pay for the best return on my dollar. Again, where do I need to spend my next dollar? And sometimes this is not the right place to spend the money because, again, thinking as an organization as a whole, should we spend this dollar on a SaaS cloud, or should I spend this dollar in marketing today? Tell me, where you think this is the best outcome. I'll show you the output. So the decision is really down back to the business owner, but we push the decision process of the leadership down. Tell me where I should be spending this dollar. If you think this is the best investment, let's do it. And then let's measure.
I love that approach, man. Looking at ROI, and it's not, I love your approach in taking that, Lorraine, because it's not saying no to the business. It's saying, hey, help me understand, like, if we don't have this, like, what happens in the business, right? And like, then you spawn that creativity, and it's not that, like, that combative nature that most finance and non-finance like has in the business. It's actually being a collaborative partner and saying, hey, like, come up with ideas and let's look at this together, man. Love to think about the ROI piece of it. I think that's like a really insightful tip for all those finance leaders that are struggling with this increasing cloud and SaaS costs, like how they can manage that. Laurent, my last question I like to ask every guest is, what does people greater than profit mean to you?
People greater than profit, the equation doesn't balance to me. To me, people equal profit. We cannot have an organization without people. Of course, you have a lot of, solopreneurs, and I could be, looked at as one of them, where you business of one. But even with that, you need mentorship, you need partnerships, you need people that, will help you grow. So to me, people equal profit. That's why an organization, a startup, even growing into a Series B, Series C, and becoming a large multinational corporation, people are the key to success. And no team Well, a team means multiple people. No team can achieve anything without people. And to me, that's key. And nurturing those relationships is critical. I think finding the right people that have the right mindset that are of the likes of the organization. Not everybody fits in every type of organization. You and I probably fit in particular type of organization, not into another. So it's the role of a leader is to find people like-minded that will help the team grow. And as the team grows, the company will grow, profits will come. To me, those are very much, interconnected.
Love it, man. I love how you change that up where it's like people equals profit, man. I fully agree, man. Like it's people are the catalyst of everything across the organization. That is your most valuable asset and your most valuable resource, man. Hey, Laurent, really appreciate the conversation, man. Love always talking with you. So much insight. If I'm a early stage founder, CEO, business owner, or if I'm a finance professional and wants to connect with you and learn more about what you're doing, where can I find you? Where can I learn more about how you help earlier stage businesses from a finance perspective? What are those resources?
Right. The best way to find me is on LinkedIn, Laurent Sorel. You'll find me. There's a few like with the same name on LinkedIn, so you can find me there. I have also a website, l90s.com. You can find me there and set up a call with me.
If you're an earlier stage founder, CEO, or a business owner, and you're looking for a great finance professional that gets the future, that values trust, that values speed, and leverages technologies to help you scale, highly recommend to go check out Laurent. And also as well too, if you're a finance professional looking at this and you want to connect with a great CFO that is helping guide the future of what it means to be a fresh CFO of the future, make sure to connect with Laurent. Following a great guy, you're a great friend of mine, man, a great support system, someone I look up to and someone I'm happy to support. Laurent, thank you so much for your time today, man. And thank you for joining us on For the Love of Finance.
Thanks so much for having me. I had a great conversation.